The other day, our neighbor asked that we should dedicate the learning as a schus for a relative of his, and now he tells me that the relative died, so he asked that we should dedicate the learning l'zecha nishmas, Daniel Ahar Moshe ben Ha'isha Ruth, who passed away. Okay, we are in the middle of Hilchos Milo. So the Shulchan Aruch describes in Reish Samach Dalet Sif Gimel, there are two, on the Eva HaZachrus, there's a heavy skin, that's the Or HaOrlo, and then there's a thin membrane below that, that's the Or HaPriya. So they used to do separately, they used to cut off the Or HaOrlo, and then roll back, rip a little bit, roll back the Or HaPriya. Many times they would have two different moelim. One moel would do the Priya, one moel would do the Chitoch HaOrlo, the other moel would take care of the Priya. This was a common practice in many communities to be mechaber as many people as possible to do the bris milah. On Shabbos, there's a big machloikis. If you have a milah bismana, it says derech Shabbos. So are you permitted to have two different moelim? So that's the very last sif in Hilchas Milah. That's Rei Samavov, Sif Yud Dalin. The mechaber writes, Yeish li zaher, shelo yamul lishnei moelim milah achas b'Shabbos. You shouldn't have one moel do the milah, one moel do the priya. Ela hamol hu atzma yifra. Why? So the Bir Agro explains over there what then. The Ramo disagrees. The Ramo says it's okay. You can have mikaradin, you can have a different moel do the milah, a different moel do the priya, even on Shabbos. So the Bir Agro explains the question is whether milah bismara b'Shabbos is dechuya or hutra. So if it's dechuya, it means the kiyum ha-mitzvah of milah is doicha the isa chilul Shabbos. So you only become the mitzvah of milah if you do the milah and the priya. One, the moel is going to do the milah, he doesn't do the priya. So he did a malacha, and he wasn't mekayim anything. The one who does the priya, one who finishes it, so he's mekayim the mitzvah. So the first moel who does the priya didn't have a heter. So the mechaba thinks, he's not about to be mechaba two moelim on Shabbos, because Mila is Decha Shabbos. So Decha means when you have the Kima Mitzvah. Masheni came, the Ramos says, Ulo Motzosi Rai Lidvorov. I don't have any Raya that the Mechaber is right. Adarabba Nirelihi, the Shori. The Ramos thinks that it should be Mutato Mila, Decha Shabbos, Kama Abayrab Amigdosh. Korban Shizmana Kavua is Decha Shabbos. We usually say a Korban Tzibur is Decha Shabbos, and Korban Yochid is not. It really is not accurate. The Mishnah in Temura points that out. It's not a din that korban tzibur is derech Shabbos, korban yochid is that. Ruba de ruba of the korban is tzibur as mano kavua. What's a korban tzibur? Tepinim u'masofim. So that's over yom a bottle korban. You have to bring it today on Shabbos. You don't bring it today, you lost your opportunity. So that's korban shes mano kavua. Once in a long while, you have a korban parhal and rovishal tzibur. You can bring it today, tomorrow, next week, whenever you have a chance. So that's not derech Shabbos. That's the korban tzibur. That's not derech Shabbos. Korban yochid, ruba de ruba of the korbanos yochid, are not zman kavua. So once in a while you have a korban yochid that is zman kavua. Let's say chavita kain gadol. Kain gadol has to bring a korban minchas chavit every single day. Achtzisa beberkim, achtzisa bein habayim. So that's the korban yochid that is zman kavua. So that is derech Shabbos or parachat on Yom Kippur. One of the karbonas that they bring, the parachatas hashalot, is paid for by the kain gadol. Most of the karbonas are paid for by the machzor shekel money, the karbonas sibur on Yom Kippur. And parachatas hashalot means that he paid for it. It's his korban yochid, but it's mana kavua. You have to bring it only on Yom Kippur. You can't bring it erev Yom Kippur. You can't bring it the day after Yom Kippur. So that's the Mishnah in Temura. Rav Meir says in Mishnah, it's a little bit inaccurate when you say, let's say, Tumah is muta b'tzibur. You're permitted to bring a korban tzibur b'tumah. So Rav Meir said, it doesn't really depend on korban yochid, korban tzibur. Depends korban shezmana kavua versus korban shein zmana kavua. So the din is that whatever korban tzibur, whatever zmana kavua, is decha Shabbos, decha tumah. And the Mishnah describes on Shabbos, the same as the weekdays, they had many kohanim. One, they had a pious, they had a hagrola, they had a lottery. Who's going to shech the korban? Who's going to do kabbalah sadam? Who's going to do zrika sadam? I was going to do Haktorah Seymurim. Each one did one step. So the one who did the first couple of steps did a malacha. One who does the shechita does a malacha. And he didn't bekayim the mitzvah yet. You don't bekayim the mitzvah until you do the zrika. The dalar avodas adam, shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, meyakim. Haktorah Seymurim, that's the hepshit, benituach, it's not meyakim. But the Dalai Rabbi says, Damar Omeyakim, so how do you allow many different Kohanim to do? The answer is that just Milas Decha Shabbos and Karbonis Tzibra Decha Shabbos. And in the Beis HaMikdash, we find Kama Kohanim Hoyu Ovdim and Mechalim Shabbos. Why? Because it's Hutra. So Hutra means Hakrabas HaKarbonis is Mutra. Not that the Kiyam HaMitzvah of Hakrabas HaKarbonis is Decha Deisa. If you say Duchi, it means the Kiyam HaMitzvah is Decha. You're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. So you do everything. But it's Hutra means Hakrabas Karban Shizman HaKavua is Mutra on Shabbos, even if you only did the first bit. If you only do, let's say, you're going to do the Shechita and no one else is going to do the rest on the Korban Tzibot. So then it will be a Chilul Shabbos, Yom Mechal Shabbos. But if I'll do the Shechita and I'm a Kohen, and I Shechita K'sher Bazaar, even on Shabbos, you don't need a Kohen. But that was the practice in Mishnah is described, that they only allowed Kohanim to Shech the Korban Tzibot. Korban Tzibot, they allowed a non-Kohen to Shech also Shechita K'sher Bazaar. But that was, they made a chumrah. The practice was they only allowed Kohan. So if the Kohen does the Shechita, or let's say the Moel does the Milah, he sees no one's doing the Priya. He better do the Priya himself, or it's going to come out that his doing the Milah, cutting off the Orla, was a Chilul Shabbos. There was no Heter. But if at the end of the day, the whole mitzvah of Milah will be fulfilled, then it's Hutra, it's not the Chuya. Chuya means that the Kim, your Kim on mitzvah is Derech HaDiyisa. Let's say Kilayim is Mutter in Tzitzis. So that's, Tosfos has a discussion whether Shatnas is Mutter in Tzitzis. If you have a beged shel pishton and the strings, the tchelis string has to be dyed a certain color and it has to be wool. If the tchelis string is linen, you're not yotze. It has to be wool. So if you have the tchelis string, it's going to be wool and the beged is going to be pishton. That's, and it's tied, Kesherelion, it's tied with a knot, that's Shatnas Deraisa, and it's still its mutter. So that's a big discussion in Tosfos, a gigantic Tosfos in Menachos, and Berakat Tchelis is in Hutra Dechuya. So what's the difference? Difference is, can you wear the beged shal tzitzis shal, that has the Shatnas in it, can you wear it at nighttime? If you hold that Kalayim and tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, Derecha the Isra of Kalayim, that's only by Yom. At nighttime, there's no Kima Mitzvah. Arisa Mosa Pratiksus Laila. By Laila, there is no Mitzvah. So then there's no Deiche. But if you say there is Hutra, this is a Beged Shal, this is a Dechefza Zuta, means this is a Beged Shal Tzitzis. Beged Shal Tzitzis, the prohibition of Shatnas doesn't apply. But if you hold the Chuyah, it means that the Kima Mitzvah is Deiche. So that's the Machalik Zemachabah the Ramah. So the Gemara says Beferish and Yuma, that the Bir Agrokos. Gemara says Beferish and Yuma. Korbanos that are Decha Shabbos are not Duchuya. That's Hutra. That's why you can have many Kohanim do it. Everybody agrees to that. The Machlekes, the Machaber, the Ramah is whether Bris Mila is Decha Shabbos. If it's Decha Shabbos, then you have to have one person do the whole thing. Otherwise, he didn't do the Kima Mitzvah to be Decha Yisra. But he said, no, it's Hutra. Whenever you do a Mechilo Shabbos in the form of a Mitzvah Mila, even though you only did part of it, you didn't do the whole Kima Mitzvah. This is Hutra on Shabbos. So that's the Machloikas. Whether the Ramah compares it to Hakrovas on Karbonis based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that performing a Bris Milah has similarities to Karbonis. The main similarity is that you have Zrikas Adam, and here you have blood flowing. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Avi HaBen should stand next to the Moel, Lehodio Shehu Shlucho. That's in Reish Samachay Sivtes. Ali Abed Omer Alamat, and Machabi writes, Lehodio Shehu Shlucho. He should notify him that he's appointing him as a Shlich. That's a big machlekes whether Shlichas helps or not. We discussed it. The mitzvah, the father has a chiv. There's a din if the father didn't take care of the bris, so the bezin has to take care of the bris. If the bezin didn't take care of the bris, so then Kol Yisrael have an obligation. If no one took care of the bris and the kid is ready by mitzvah, then the kid now is mechuyev to see to it that he gets a bris milah. So the question is, the father has a special chiyuv that we all agree to. The question is, if the father's mitzvah to take care of the bris milah is a mitzvah shebegufo, he has to do it himself. And if he calls a moyel, he's not yotze the mitzvah. He has no choice. He doesn't know how to do it. But if he has a moyel, he's not yotze. He say no. The father's mitzvah is to see to it that the bris milah is taken care of. So the father will be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. See, the Mechaber writes he should, Avi Aben should stand next to the Mala, Hadir Shurishluchai, he's assuming that Shlichas will help. And in another place, they quote that that's Machlaikas, if the father himself knows how to do the Bismillah, but his Machaber, a different model to do it, and he's Mevatla Mitzvah, you're not Yetzei. That's 2 days, you're not Yetzei. Just like, let's ask someone else to shake the lulav and the dalad mina for me. He'll be yotzei. I won't be yotzei. Shlichas doesn't help the shaking the lulav. It's what we call the mitzvah shebegufo. So the shach in the end of Choshen Mishpot spoke about what's it doing in Choshen Mishpot. So there's a din, the penalty of Rabbi Gamliel, that if I cheat someone from a mitzvah, let's say whoever shechts chayav yov has a mitzvah to do kisi adam. So he has the first crack at the mitzvah. So some. If I shech the chicken and someone else runs in and he does the kisei adam, he stole the mitzvah from me, so he has to pay me asar zul. Unless I was mechaber him to do the mitzvah, I gave it away. So whenever you steal a mitzvah from someone, you pay asar zul. So that's a discussion. Let's say the father of the baby is not going to do the bris. He hires a moel to do the bris. So if the father can appoint, if you say it's not a mitzvah shebegufoi, then the father is fulfilling the mitzvah by having the mo'iz, mo'diyah, the mo'el, he's my shliach. And so the father is mekayim the mitzvah, he arranged it. But if some other person is going to run in, I called up a mo'el and I arranged it, and another guy comes and he takes care of the mitzvah. I didn't ask him to do it for me. I didn't make him my shliach. So then you stole the mitzvah from the father. If the father's mo'el would have done the mitzvah, the father arranged for it, father would be mekayim. So that's what the shach paskens in the end of Choshen Mishpot. That if the father arranged for a moel and another person grabbed the mitzvah, he doesn't have to pay asar zul because he didn't steal the mitzvah from the father. Father's not yotzei the mitzvah by someone else doing it. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. And the mechaber holds not a mitzvah shebegufo. That's a big machloikas. That's a shaila. When the Rambam writes, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the brachas that you recite, taka nisim, before you perform the bris milah, so you say a whole bunch of brachas. So the shaila is, if the father arranged to have, if the father is doing the bris milah himself, so he, the father has a special mitzvah more so than Kol Yisrael. So the Rambam writes that the father says a bracha she'echiyonu, and even if the father appointed a shliach, we assume also shluchu shalom kemosai, so it's considered as if the father did the shluch. It's not a mitzvah shebegufay. The father says shechion. Others disagree and they say no. The father only says shechion if he does the bris himself. If he appoints a shliach, you don't say it's a mitzvah shebegufay. It's not yotzei his special mitzvah. The moel is yotzei the mitzvah like all Israel. So a wise guy runs in and he does the bris. Moel is all about to do the mitzvah. And another guy runs in and he does the bris. He's not cheating the moel out of it. It's the moel has more, doesn't have more yichas than I have. Why does he have adifas? The father has an adifas. So if the father's going to do the bris and I steal it from him, I pay asar zul. But if the father has the moel, that depends on this machlekes, whether we consider that a mitzvah shebegufo or not. So that's a big machlekes. So the Shulchan Aruch describes. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch describes that you do, one person does the milah, one person does the priya, and on Shabbos, the Chabad says you shouldn't do that because it's the chuya. The Ramah disagrees with the Mechaber, but then he ends off. But since the Mechaber says not so, al kein tov lahachmal lachatchila, afabisha medina nirali masha kasavti. Even though he thinks the Mechaber is wrong, but he gives in to the Mechaber. And the Tshuvas HaRamah, he disagrees and he said, you should do what I said. On Shabbos, you have two different people do it. We used to have here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Osher Ziv. He was a roommate of my father in a dormitory when they were learning for Smicha. And then later on, he was a rabbi in a big shul on Bronx, in the Bronx, right near a park there. So he put out a beautiful edition of Tshuvas HaRamah with his footnotes on the bottom of the page. He got a Prasa Rav Kook for putting out his edition of the Tshuvas HaRamah. He writes an introduction to his edition. This is the first time that the Tshuvas HaRamah is being printed in block letters. It was always printed in Rashi's script. The Ramah himself writes in the Chuvas Ramah that he was makbid, it should only be printed in Rashi's script. Didn't want to print it in block letters because in Yeridei, Hilchas Sefer Torah, Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig from the Ri Megash that you should only use block letters for Sefer Torah, Ksav Ashuris. See, a lot of the block letters are come out the same as Ksav Ashuris. So it's not right, the Rabbinic of the Ri Megash are not right to use Ksav Ashuris for anything other than Torah. So the Ramah writes, Tshuvas shouldn't be printed in block letters because some of them are the same as Ksav Ashuris. He was makbid davka to print it in Rashi's script. They quote Chassam Sofer's meaning was when he sent that wedding invitation, that's not the Reiter, but it's a Mokka Mitzvah, so he had a Sofer write the wedding invitations in Ksav Ashuris. He felt that not only is Mutter B'Mokka Mitzvah, it's Mutter B'Mokka Mitzvah. And the Ramah felt that, so Ramah held it's only Mutter and Gemoris and Mishnayis. But my Shalos HaTshuvos, the Ramah writes, my Shalos HaTshuvos is makbid only to print it in Rashi script. So Rabbi Osher Ziv got an award, Pras Rav Kook, for printing it the first time in block letters, what the Ramah himself has makbid not to do. Anyway, so he has footnotes there, very, very nice footnotes. So he writes, he was brought up in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Minig Yerushalayim for many years was that when they would be a bris on Shabbos, all week long they would only have one moil to do the Milu Priya. When there was a bris on Shabbos, they wanted to demonstrate that the din is like the Ramah, so they had dafka two moilim on Shabbos, one to do the Milu, one to do the Priya. Because the Mechaber had a machlekes, so they wanted to demonstrate that the din is really like the Ramah. So then the Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch quotes here, Reish Samar Dal says, you have Milo and Priya, okay, and then you have to do Mitzitza. What's the purpose of Mitzitza? The boil should suck out a little bit by the bris to draw out blood to prevent infection. We have better ways to prevent infection today than they had in the days of the Gemara. We have antiseptics. So what are you, and if you're going to do Mitzitza B'peh, you can infect the child with a sickness. So that's a question whether you still need mitzitza b'zman hazeh. And then on the assumption that you do need mitzitza, does it make sense you should still insist on doing mitzitza b'peh? That's the way they did it years ago. Maybe it can be mitzitza b'kli. Doesn't have to be mitzitza b'peh. So the Sdei Chema is an encyclopedia that was written by Asvardi 100 years ago, the early 1900s. Everything is arranged approximately alphabetically, not exactly. All the olives are near each other, but they're not alphabetically arranged completely. So he has a long kuntres, 40 pages on mitzitza. So the first 20 pages, he rejects what those, some suggested, the mitzvah is that you don't need any mitzitza at all. Rav Soloveitchik said that's Rav Chaim held. The Apipash, you don't need mitzitza at all, mitzvah is that. You have antiseptics, and the simple reading of the Gemara is that the whole purpose of the mitzitza is to prevent the infection. So we have better ways of preventing infection. We mentioned in the days of the Gemara, if you did a bris mila, they had to bathe the baby with warm, wash the baby with warm water before and after the bris to prevent infection. And if you already did the bris and you don't have warm water and there's no nochri test to warm to eat the water, the Gemara says you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos because it's considered a sofek sakana to prevent the infection. Then Rabbi Yosef Kara writes that bizman hazeh, he lived in Tzvas in the 1500s, and the hygienic conditions, but not what they are today. They didn't have what we have today. And still he says, they no longer bathe the baby with the warm water. In the days of the Gemara, they felt it was essential. But Zman said it's not. So we follow the doctors of our generation, Bein L'Hakal, Bein L'Achmer. If we have things that we consider sakonis, even though the Gemara says it's not a sakonis, we would be Mechal Shabbos on it. And the Gemara says it is a sakonis, we say today it's not a sakonis. We follow the doctors of our generation. So that's what the pashtus is, that the whole purpose of Mitzitza, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, if the moil doesn't do mitzitza, you fire him on the spot. And let's say a fellow paints, they have a secretary, it types letters. So she doesn't type letters the way you would like it. So you don't fire her on the spot. You have to warn her three times. Do the letter like this. They put the date over there. Put a Yisha date, put a Goisha date. Put the signature on the middle, not on the left end. If you warn the person three times, or let's say you have a painter painting house, so you tell him, I want you to paint it like this, like that. If you warn him three times and he doesn't listen, then you fire him. The only time you fire the person is if there's a pseudo, the Gemara says, let's say a doctor in a hospital He's not practicing medicine properly. He's putting the patient's bisakona. Then you fire him on the spot. Or a Rebbe in yeshiva. If he's not teaching well, so the children will never catch up what they missed that day in shiur. Get another Rebbe. But they missed an hour of learning today because the Rebbe was cracking jokes. He was talking about politics, whatever. He wasn't teaching Torah. So that's called Pseidat Alehoda. Pseidat Alehoda, you fire him on the spot. So it says in the Gemara, if the Moel doesn't do Metzitza Mavir Mosi, you fire him because that's a Pseidat Alehoda. That's a suffix Sakon on the baby. So Rab Chaim, that's what the Rab Soloveitchik said. Rab Chaim felt that Bismanas, they don't even need Metzitza. That's the first half of the long 40-page Kuntres and the Sechemet. He says you do need Metzitza. Shaila is why. And then the second half is that there are those who say that you don't need Metzitza B'peh. There were cases in Europe where the baby died. There are cases in New York City every year. In every hospital, every major hospital. Chassidish people who do Metzitza B'peh, their babies died. By the non-Chassidim, it never happens. Only by the Chassidim. Obviously, because they're doing Metzitza B'peh, and the moil is transmitting some infectious disease to the baby, and they die. Some of the moilim are denying it. But if you ask anyone who has his eyes open in a hospital, in the baby's ward, I have a daughter who's in a nurse in Columbia Presbyterian, said there are 5 babies every year who die. It's obvious because they had been tzitzit v'peh. If they wouldn't have done tzitzit v'peh, the baby would still be alive today. It's scandalous. That's what Rabbi Tendler, Zechanu Baruch, tumult for years about that. So they called him an apikurus. So why is he an apikurus? Anyway, so that's a shiloh. Why do you still insist on having mitzitza if we know that bizman is that there's no sakana? So some say Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So the Maram Shik says, how do you know that there's no sakana? All the medical information is based on how many cases did they deal with. They dealt with 30 million cases. Maybe if you deal with another 5 cases, maybe you'll find the baby will die because you didn't do mitzitza. It's a little humorous. If they dealt with 30 million cases, so far nobody died. So the Maram Shik writes, Sakonas tefash is decha shabbos, even echad mini elaf alfei alofim, even 1 in 1 million. We usually assume not like that. We usually assume if it's 1 chance in 1 million, that's shamer psayim Hashem, that's ridiculous. It's surprising that Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer himself says like that. Chassam Sofer says that sakana echad mini elaf alfei alofim, that's not called the suffix sakana. Chassam Sofer has it. A few countries in Europe passed laws that you're not allowed to bury a person until 48 hours go by after the doctor signed the death certificate. Because there were cases that they signed the death certificate and then they buried the person, and then it turned out that they buried him alive. He was still alive. So they made a mistake. So they passed laws in different countries in Europe that you're not allowed to bury on the same day. You have to wait 48 hours. So the shadow was whether we're allowed to go along with that. It says in the Chumash, a mitzvah, mitzvah to bury the person the same day that he dies, if possible, before the Shkia. Before the Shkia, and if not, you only violate Halona. Halona is not mesa if you wait till Alois HaShachar. So if you can't bury before Shkia, you should bury after the Shkia, before Alois HaShachar. If you wait till after Alois HaShachar, not only have you not fulfilled the essay, you violated the Alois HaShachar with the Sola Nevelosin. So the Shaila is, but there's really a suffix Sakona. Maybe they're burying people who are alive. So then maybe we should listen to the Gemara. So Maritz Chayas, Tzvi Hirsch Chayas was a rabbi in Zalkeva. And he dealt with a lot of maskilim. A lot of maskilim lived in his community. So he corresponded with the Chassam Sofer. All of the tshuvas in the Chassam Sofer have a name, who the tshuva was sent to, except for very few, less than 10. So this is one of the few tshuvas that doesn't have a name. Because he writes in the middle, Chassam Sofer writes in the response to the Maris Chayas, what's wrong with you? Are you an apikoros that you don't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh? So when they printed it, it was printed after the Chassam Sofer passed away, but they took out his name. They didn't want to embarrass the Maram Shik, the Maritz Chayas. But the Maritz Chayas was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sofer, so he published a separate little sefer, my correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. So it's obvious He sent the letter to the Chassam Sofer, and he writes it. And the Chassam Sofer's response is paragraph by paragraph relating to the letter that he sent him. Because in the Chassam Sofer's tshuva, he says, and there's a Mar Nebuchim. Where did the Mar Nebuchim come from? From outer space? No. Maratz Chais in his Shaila quoted the Mar Nebuchim. The Mar Nebuchim writes, he quotes Galen. Galen was a Greek doctor, a Roman doctor, I forgot about it. He quotes Galen a lot of times. So he quotes Galen that there was once a case that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and then later on he came to, he was revived after 3 days. So that's what the Maratz Chais said. The practice is that if a person stops breathing for 20 minutes, Chevra Kadisha buries him in Shoy. 20 minutes is enough. But the Rambam writes that there was a case in Galen that the person stopped breathing for 3 days and then he came to. So the Pashtun says that it never happened. It can't be. The guy stopped breathing 3 days. He's not gonna survive. They probably didn't realize it was breathing. But that's the Shaila Maramshik. That's the Shaila that the Maratz Chais sent to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said, what's the matter with you? You are an apikoros or something? You don't believe in Torah Shabbat Pei? When the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to bury him the same day. So what was the definition? What definition did Baruch Hashem give Moshe Rabbeinu? When is he dead? He must have told him if he stops breathing for 15, 20 minutes. Aye, but the Rambam says that there was a case in medical history. The fellow wasn't breathing for 3 days. So he says that's a suffik rochek, echa min elef alfei alofim. That's a rare case. You're not mechuyev to be choshish for that. Lehoch bebekoch nefosh ha-sacha ha-roiv. Depends how big the roiv is. So if 1%, 99% of the people survive this bris milah without mitzitza, and 1% of the people are going to die because of a lack of mitzitza. So if I would hear, let's say, 1% of the people die from a certain surgery, I wouldn't want to have that surgery. I'd be concerned about 1%. But if they tell me one, how many people don't wake up after they give them, what do you call it, when they put you to sleep? Anesthesia. So 1 out of 30,000 people don't wake up from the anesthesia. So everybody goes, even elective surgery, go under anesthesia. 1 out of 30,000 people are not nervous about. 1%, 1 out of 100, we would be nervous about. And if it's a 1 out of 500, so some people will be nervous, some people will not be nervous. That's the din. That's what we spoke about. Shem Epsoim Hashem. That's Rav Chaim Moshe's shul, where he quotes many achronim. They say it depends on the chayla, if the chayla is nervous. But if it's one out of echad mini elof alfei alofim, even if the chayla is nervous, it's time to take a tranquilizer. That's not called the suffix sakon. So that mamshik is very strange. He says all the medical knowledge is based on the cases that they studied. So far they had 30 million cases that they did circumcisions and they never did a mitzitza, no one ever died. Maybe if they'll do one or two more, maybe someone will die. So 1 out of 30 million is also called the suffix sakar. So Pasha says that that's a joke. The Chassam Sofer says that it's wrong. Maratz Chais quoted in his letter to the Chassam Sofer that he responds to paragraph by paragraph. It's interesting. Every so often there's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. You don't know what in the world he's talking about because he doesn't describe the shaila. We just have the tshuva. Every so often there's a tshuva that you don't know what he's talking about. This one we wouldn't fully understand if not for the fact that the Maratz Chais printed a book, my personal correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. You wouldn't know where the Chassam Sofer, what did he pull in this Maratz Nebuchim for? Pulled it in because the Maratz Chais quoted it. Then he also quotes, there's a line in, I think, in Obis Der Abnosin or something, maybe it's a novel Rabbosi, I don't know. Someone went to the cemetery and he heard knocking. Someone was buried and they had a big building on top, an ohel on top of the mace. And the mace was buried alive. So the guy woke up and he was knocking on the door, let me out of here. They locked me in here. They buried him alive, they locked him in. So the Maratz Chais said, you see from this story that such a thing is possible. That you have a mission in the end of Nida like that, that we're not sure when the person is dead. So the Chassam Sofer says, come on, that was once in a million cases. That's why it's recorded as an odd thing that happened. It doesn't happen that often. It's very far-fetched, that by mistake. In the day, in the the newspaper that they used to sell, the A&P, the Enquirer, always has crazy, funny shtick. So they have that a guy died, and they were having a hesped in the church. And then the guy woke up, and he said, "What are they delivering a hesped? I'm still alive." So this was headlines in the newspaper. It happened once in a million times. It happened once in 20 million cases. The guy's alive. But that's not a suffix. That's not called a suffix, sakana. So some said, that's what the Mamshik says. No, it's still a sakana. Even if you don't do matzitza, it's still a sakana. Even though it's one out of 30 million, still a suffix sakana. Others say, no, it's a sakana for apikursis. If you don't do the matzitza, it's a sakana. I think, if I'm not mistaken, could be that the Bnei Yisoscha maybe says that. It's not a sakana. The Gemara didn't mean it's a sakana that the baby may die if you don't do mitzitza. That's possible to prevent infection. But even though today we have antiseptics that prevent the infection, it's still a sakana for apikursis. And you have no way to establish whether that's correct or not. Come on, where they dig up from thin air. Where does it say a suffix apikursis? And others insist that mitzitza is an integral part of the bris milah. You need milah, priya, mitzitza. Where did it come up? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. The Hungarians invented all of this. You have to do mitzitza, you have to do mitzitza. The pashtus is that you don't even need mitzitza at all. That's the pashtus. Rabbi Soloveitchik, when we learned Hilchas Milah, Rabbi Soloveitchik told over a story, he didn't tell who it was about. It was about, after Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away, he asked me to speak in Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld's shul. So Rabbi Schoenfeld's son was there. So I told over the story, so he said, that was at my bris. I didn't know who it was, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't tell us who. He said they had a Hungarian moil, and the Hungarian moil insisted he's going to do mitzitza b'peh. Rabbi Soloveitchik insisted he's not allowed to do mitzitza b'peh. He do mitzitza b'kli, because he's going to infect the baby. So they're back and forth fighting. So Rabbi Soloveitchik finally said, okay, I'm very tolerant. If my father would be here, he wouldn't permit you to do mitzitza b'peh. I'm very tolerant. If you really insist, I will allow you to do mitzitza b'peh. That's called tolerant. I will allow you to do the mitzitza b'peh. But others are makbid on that. Rabbi Breuer wouldn't allow the moil. Katzenstein used to be the moil by, he passed away now. His son, Pinky Katzenstein, his children do bris milah. But he wouldn't allow Rabbi Katzenstein to teach other people how to do bris milah unless they would promise that they're not going to do mitzitza b'peh. But there's a tshuva written by Rabbi Samson Eiffel Hirsch, that was his grandfather. Rabbi Hirsch wrote a tshuva that you're not allowed to do mitzitza b'peh, you should do mitzitza b'kli. So the Hungarians are very up on this. Has to dafka be mitzitza b'peh. And every year, in the New York area, there are at least 15 babies who die because of the mitzitza b'peh. Then there's a big issue. In the days of the Gemara, days of the Shulchan Aruch, they used to do milu or priya separately. Milu is you cut off the or horlo, and the priya is the thin membrane. And now, most of the moilim do the milu and the priya b'vasachas. Instead of cutting around with scissors, they pull up the or horlo with the or priya, and they cut both of them together b'vasachas. So you can't have two moilim do it. By our first, we have three sons. So the first son that we had, it was on a weekday, and the bris was done by two moil. One moil did the mila, and the other moil did the priya. The mechaber, the other one to do the priya. So that's a big shaila. Is it acceptable if you do the mila, the priya b'vasach? So Rabbi Yankif Emden says it's a hidden mitzvah. It's a beautiful, it's a much nicer job. Why should he do the milah separately and the priya separately? And the Hungarian, the minkacha was also moil. So the minkacha writes that you're not yotze. You have to dafka do the milah separately and the priya separately. You have to do exactly the same way they did in the days of the Gemara. Why? If you cut off the orhal and the priya, cut them both off the vasachas, why should it be puzzle? Anyway, that's one of the big issues that's going on. So the Hungarians always insist on doing the milah and the priya separately, just the way they did it in the days of the Gemara. Then the Gemara has a din. Gemara has it, then here it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Where is it? This is a complicated thing, I'll have to discuss this. If you have tzitzin, you have to cut off all of the basal chayfas rav hator. Then there's a din of tzitzin hama'achmen es amila. Tzitzin means strands of skin. The tzitzin hama'achmen es amila, tzitzin she'ma'achmen. So we'll have to dedicate a little time to that, but not today. So the din is, on Shabbos, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. You're b'chuyif to be mechal Shabbos to do the bris milo. But let's say the oil cut off enough that the bris is kosher b'di'evet. The hatchila should cut off even the tzitz and shein ma'akman is amila. But if the oil already finished cutting off what's ma'akev, and then he already put on a bandage, that's called silik yodo, already put on a bandage to stop the bleeding, and then he realized, but he didn't do it. The Gemara said that there's a hida mitzvah to cut off even the tzitz and shein ma'akman is amila, even to cut that off. So the Gemara says, calls Ma'adloi Silik Yodo, he didn't put on the bandage yet. He's allowed to continue to be Mechal Shabbos to cause more bleeding in order to do the Hida Mitzvah. It's a Pasuk Zekelim Ande, it was not the fun of the Mitzvahs. So not only are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for that part of the bris that's Ma'akev, even for the Hida Mitzvah of cutting off the Miut also. But once Silik Yodo, then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to cut off the tzitzin shei makvenus amila. So the Torah said that's only on Shabbos, but on the weekdays, even if silik yoda, even if he cut, the mal comes the next day, and he realizes that he didn't cut off, he didn't remove the tzitzin shei makvenus amila, so there is a hida mitzvah. And the Rambam learns, no, it goes even on the weekdays. Why does it apply even on the, but there's no chilul Shabbos on the weekdays, so the Rambam's, so that's what the Beis Halevi explains. This is, they say, the all the three generations of the Soloveitchiks have this. Beis Halevi has this on this Rambam, and then Rab Chaim Soloveitchik has it on a different case, and Rav Elbele Soloveitchik has it on a third case. All three have the same chiddush that the Torah disagrees with. If a person already fulfilled the mitzvah, b'di'evet, can he do anything now to make an enter l'chatchila? Let's say, Yishuk HaLulav, and he has an esrog, that's not so pretty. Not such a good looking esrog. He already said the bracha, he already was mekayim. And then someone brings him a very beautiful esrog, a mehuda dika esrog. Would he accomplish anything by shaking lulav and esrog again with the mehuda dika esrog? You say, no, the mitzvah is only when you're being mekayim the mitzvah, so do it behidur. But if you already were mekayim, you already were yotzei the mitzvah b'di'evet, how can you do something later on to make it into l'chatchila? You already were yotzei the mitzvah b'di'evet. So that's what the Beis Halevi explained, that's the machlokes here. Between the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam says, if Silek Yodo, you don't choyzer, you're not choyzer to cut off the tzitzin, Shem Akvanus Hamila, even Bechol, not only B'Shabbos, even Bechol. Because you won't accomplish anything. You're ready to be out to the mitzvah B'Di'evet. There's nothing you can do to make an enter L'chatchila. That's what we mentioned from the Aderes, before Purim we mentioned, that the minig is that everybody says over the four psukim of Geula. Meaning is to say along with the Balkari for Psukim. So the Gemara says, Mikaradin, you say Ruba Kukula. If Raiva of the Megillah, let's say you have a Megillah, it's missing a word here and there. But Raiva of the Megillah is written. So we say Ruba Kukula on two levels. Number one, Ruba Kukula, the Megillah is a Kasha Megillah, even though it's missing a couple of words. And number two, those words that are missing, you lay in Balpeh. So Kriya has to be Mitoch HaKsav. So as long as Raiva of the Kriya is Mitoch HaKsav, even though Miut of the Kriya is Balpeh, you say Ruba Kukula as far as that's concerned also. But L'chatchila, the mitzvah B'Shalimus says to have everything, not to rely on Ruba Kukula. That's a Gemara in Chul in the beginning of the second parak. That it says, Ashechet sounds like B'di'evet. The second parak in Chul is parak Ashechet. The Gemara Ashechet B'di'evet. So Ashechet Raiva Echad Ba'if or Rav Shnayim be'Beima. Ba'if you have to shecht either the kana or the veshet. You don't have to shecht both. By Beima you have to shecht the kana, and the kana is the windpipe, and the veshet is the food pipe, the esophagus. So by Beima you have to shecht the kana and the veshet. Ba'if you shecht either one or the other. So what does it say? Hashechet b'di'evet. What do you want l'chatchila? What more do you want? So the Gemara has two pshat. One pshat is l'chatchila shecht kol hakana v'kol haveshet. It's only by the Eved that if he's shecht raiv, it's good. But l'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus, is shecht kol hakana, the kol aveshen. That's a machlekes Rashi and Taisis, whether that's a l'chatchila d'rais or l'chatchila d'rabbanan. And that gemara, that's a machlekes. Those are all that's only l'chatchila d'rabbanan, probably they hold because they hold that shechita is not a mitzvah. So it doesn't make sense to have a l'chatchila d'rais unless it's a mitzvah. It's only a matir, it does make sense. If it's a mitzvah, then it makes sense to talk about alachat chila deraisa. But let's say by arba kaisis, the Gemara says if you drink roiv kaisi yoytzei, so the Magen Avraham says only b'di evit. But the mitzvah b'shlemus says to drink kolakos. The kos has to have a revius. And ikra, then if you drink ruba kukulai, so it's considered as if you drank the whole kos. But the more proper is to drink kolakos. So the mikra megillah also, the mitzvah b'shlemus says to lain everything b'toch haksav. And b'di'evet, if you lay in roi, mitach haksav mi'at papa is good. So that's the shaila. Let's say you say the first pasuk. I forgot already which is the first pasuk. Let's say, ayu ma'asar b'simcha v'sas yikar. Every, the whole tzibur says it. So that's kriya bal peh. The other people don't have a kosher megillah. But then the bal kor is going to say over the pasuk, and you didn't get to the end of the megillah yet. So by the time you get to the end of the megillah, that pasuk was already read mitach haksav. But the last pasuk in the Megillah is one of the four psukim that everybody says along. So if the tzibur, they quote from the Aderis like that. The Aderis was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. So he said, if the tzibur is going to say the last pasuk before the Bal Koreh, then the Yotzei Mikra Megillah. They heard the whole Megillah mitoch haksav up until, and not including the last pasuk. Then they said the last pasuk about that. The Yotzei already, but he had it. Now there's nothing you can do to make it into l'chatchila. You're ready with yotze the mitzvah. So he recommended that you shouldn't say the last pasuk till the either you have a mind not to be yotze when you say the last pasuk, or don't say it till after the Bal Koreh says it. Because the Bal Koreh is going to have to roll up the Megillah anyway. It's going to take him a minute till he rolls up the Megillah to say the bracha, Rabbis Yerbein, Adavos Dinenu. The bracha you say after the Mikra Megillah. So you can say the last pasuk after the Bal Koreh finishes saying the pasuk. So he's also working with this assumption. That once you yotze in the mitzvah, once you yotze in the mitzvah with the Eved, there's nothing you can do to be yotze it l'chatchila. So it's famous. The Beis Halevi said that's pshat in the Rambam here. Why afila b'chol? If silik yodo, if you already put on the bed and the jiva b'chol, you don't gain anything by even cutting off later on the tzitz and shei makven and samila. The Ramah writes here at the end of Sifei Reish Samachdal Sifei. The last line is in the Rambam. Mikol makom, imhu b'chol, l'chatchila yitu kol atzitz magdolim, afal b'shein ha'akvim. That's the tour. And the Rambam disagrees. So the Beis HaLevi said that's pshat in the Rambam. Why the Rambam holds b'chol, you don't bother to cut the tzitz and shein ha'akvim? Because once you hear the mitzvah, there's nothing you can do to be yotze l'chatchila. And the Sefer Rav Chaim said it, if you already shook the dalan minim with an esrog, that was kosher, but it's not so mahuder. Then later on somebody brings an esrog, that's mahuder. So you won't gain anything by shaking again. If you masup because something was kosher the first time, so you'll gain. Shake with the kosher. But if you know it's kosher, it just wasn't mahuder, you gain nothing. And then Rav Velbala has the same assumption in Hilchas Chanukah. He says that there are different opinions. The Gemara says, Ikra din, then every family that just light one candle. And then there's Mahadrin is Ner Lechalechot B'Yechot. What does it mean, Mahadrin Ner Lechalechot B'Yechot? So the Rambam has a different shot, not the way we assume. We assume the father, a husband, and a wife, and they have nine children. So 11 people light the menorah. So the Rambam doesn't learn like that. Once the father is Madlik, so the whole family is here. So once one person is Madlik, the whole family was yotze already. So what are you going to gain by being madlik again? Zat brocha levatola. You ready with yotze? You can't be yotze either if the yotze the ikra mitzvah. So the Rambam says nelech alechach means something else. On the first night, instead of lighting one candle, you light 11 candles. The 11 people nelech alechach v'yachad. The balabais lights so many candles, according to how many people there are in the family. Then you have moisev v'olech. Moshe Vahela, that means Chassidus, and the first night you light one, second night you light two, next second night you light three. So according to the Rambam, it doesn't mean like that. It means if there's a husband and a wife, they have nine children. I have nine children. So the first night the husband lights alone, 11 candles. The second night he lights 22 candles. The third night he lights 33 candles. Only one person is lighting. Because you have one, you're going to interpret Le'elecha, Le'elecha, Le'elecha. Each person lights his own. He was already Yotzei Deikar Mitzvah when the first person who lit the menorah lit. So well, there's no room for any Hider Mitzvah after he already be Yotzei the Mitzvah with the first Hadlaka. That's what they say. Three generations in a row, they all assume the same premise. But this, not everybody agrees. The Torah disagrees. I'm leaving out a little bit. We're going to have to talk about Tzitzin Shem Akvenes Amila. We'll have to talk about that. Rei Samachei is about the brachas. So the on Masech Shabbat had 24 prokim, and one parak is parak of Lezer de Mila. It's on the very last amud in the last daf. The last amud is on an amud base in parak of Lezer de Mila. There's a Tosafot that quotes Machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam is the older brother. He learned with Rashi. He rarely disagrees with Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam is the younger. He was a child when Rashi died. Then there was a third brother who was born after Rashi died. He was named after Rashi, Rabbeinu Shlomai. So, the grandchildren. So Tosafot quotes Machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Minhag always was that after the bris was all finished, the father would say the bracha lachnis b'yisrael shalavram avin. So the Rashbam said it must be a mistake. Kol ha-mitzvah, he said, Asher k'dushan b'mitzvah yisrael b'tzivanu. Abichas ha-mitzvah has to be recited over l'asi yosam. So he says, it's an incorrect practice. That's what it says in the Gemara. It says, the moel says the bracha alamila, and then the father says, after the bris is all over, the father says, lachnis b'yisrael shalavram avinu. So the Rashbam says it must be a mistake in the girsa. It should say lachnis b'isa before, because kol ha-mitzvos kulam arach aleihem moel v'lasi yosam. So the father says the bracha before the moel, then the moel says the bracha al hamila. The Rabbeinu Tam says, what did he change the girsa? When only old kisvei out of the Gemara, it has that the moel says the bracha al hamila, and afterwards the father says the bracha lachnis b'isa shalom avinu. It's said later. So that's what he taught. Rabbeinu Tam holds that even though the bracha begins al shekel shana b'mitzvah yisav. B'tzivan, it sounds like a birchas hamitzvah. It could be that it's a birchas shevach. Lachniv b'shevach from Avina. The birchas hamitzvah was already recited. Al hamila. This is a different birchas shevach v'hidoyim that were part of the bris with Avram Avina. So the Rosh came up with a compromise that's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh came up. How do you satisfy both? So that Rabbeinu Tam says the old girsa was correct, and the Rashbam had no right to change the minig. Minig is correct that the Aviyah Ben should say the bracha. Lacher asiyasim. Oyvel asiyasim is only a din in Birchas HaMitzvah and in Birchas HaNenen is a different word because also the honest Madol Mazel B'lai Bracha. You have to say the Bracha before you eat the food. But by Birchas Shevach, by Doi is Faker. Birchas Shevach, if you see a shooting star or you see a lightning or you see the rainbow, so you say the Bracha after you see it. You see the Mediterranean, say the Bracha after, you don't say the Bracha before. So that's the machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rosh came up with the compromise. You should try to say the bracha after and before. How can you do after and before? So in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, the practice was like the Hungarians still do Adayam Hazeh. They do Mila, then they do Priya. And the Mishnah says, it's strange. Mishnah says twice in the same parrot. Movel apar kiloloi mov. Taisayan points it out. Sometimes you have an identical Mishnah that appears in two different Masechtos, but in the exact same parak, you have the same line in the Mishnah twice. It's only over there. Molva lapar kilo lamov is twice in the same parak. And Rabbi Lezer the Mila. So the Rosh says, have the father say the bracha after the Mila, before the Priya. Today, usually it's not possible, because the Moel pulls up both, and he cuts them both off with a knife. So there is no in between the Mila and the Priya. Unless you have a Hungarian Noel and he's doing the Mila separately and the Priya separately, then you have to do in between. So the Mechaber quotes this Rosh that the Aben should recite the Bracha Ben Chatichas Orla, the Priya, in between cutting off the Orla and cutting off the Ora Priya, then the father should say the bracha lachnisa b'bisa shel Avraham Avinu. Yeah. What if there's no father to say the bracha? So the Rambam writes, it's a bracha levatola. You shouldn't say it. This bracha was only niskena for the Avi HaBen. And the other Rishonim disagree, and the Ramah quotes those who disagree. The Ramah says, right away after Sif Aleph, the main Avi HaBen, Eitzel Amila, the father's in the army, the father's not there. Yesh Mishayim Shodim Achem Evar Bracha Zor Shari. There's the Mitzvah Namolah, call it some Mitzvah Namolah. So someone else should say, you always say the bracha lachnisa b'bisa. Manish Tana, the Tosis Rid, HaMasech HaShabbos, at the end of the Tosis Rid came from Trani, that's a city in southern Italy, but then when he went to learn in Germany, when he went back, he went to northern Italy. He was there for years. So the Tosis Rid raises the question, Manish Tana, this mitzvah from the other mitzvah, that they say two brachas, say bracha ala mila, then say bracha lachnis b'shal Avram Avinu. So, he says all the other mitzvahs were not given kodim matan Torah, they were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Mitzvah mila was given to Avram Avinu. True, the Rambam says that we today continue to observe the mitzvah because it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, not because it was told to Avram Avinu. Avraham Avinu, all the other Nevi'im are only given Haru Ashur, by definition. The only one that's given Dinim, the Duris, is only Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, Perigid HaNoshem. But so that's what the Tosfos Rid says. Because this mitzvah was unique, that it was given Kodem Matan Torah, so that's why we say an additional bracha. It's a little strange. Well, why should it say an additional bracha? Rav Soloveitchik used to say like this, the Gemara says, if you put on tefillin, you shouldn't talk in between the Nishal Yad and Nishal Rosh. So the bracha that you said, La'nich tefillin should go both on the Nishal Yad and Nishal Rosh. If you talk, Hasoch ben tefillah le tefillah, you talk in between tefillin and Nishal Yad. And tefillin and Nishal Rosh, tefillin is the plural, and the singular is tefillah. So, Hasoch ben tefillah le tefillah, you talk in between Nishal Yad and Nishal Rosh, is a hefsik. And he has to say a bracha on the Sharosh. What does it mean? So the Rashi and the Rambam hold, if you don't talk, you cover, there are two different mitzvahs, Shal Yad and Sharosh. You can cover two mitzvahs with one bracha. That's a person is making an Eruvi Chatzeris and an Eruvi Tepshilin at the same time. So you only have to say one bracha. Al mitzvah say, why should he say two brachas? He's being mafresh, truma, and bikurim, and Maisa Miram Maisa and Chala. So the Rambam quotes at the Sefta, let him say Halaf Rosh Chala. Sheikh Jerome says, Halaf Rosh Chala. Halaf Rosh Truma. All four Hashem Echad. Truma and Chala and Bikurim. And Maisa Miram Maisa is all Hashem Truma. So you can cover four mitzvahs with one bracha. So Rashi and the Rambam hold, if he didn't talk, just say La Nech Tefillin. That covers the Shal Yad Nusha Rosh, no problem. And if you did talk, then you have to say a new bracha on the Shal Rosh, because the bracha he said before the Shal Yad can't relate to the Shal Rosh. You're mafsik. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. So most of the Ashkenazim follow the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you always need to, if you only have a Shal Rosh, you don't have a Shal Yad, then you say two brachas on the Shal Rosh. If you didn't talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, then the bracha lahaniach that he said before the Shal Yad relates to the Shal Rosh, in addition to the bracha al mitzvahs that you're going to say anyway on the Shal Rosh. And if you did talk, then you have to say both brachas on the Shal Rosh. So mazeh, why does the Shal Rosh need two brachas? So Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about that. So he thought that maybe the bracha that you say here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the bracha should be recited l'achar asiyosam, l'achnis b'visa shal Avram Avinu, maybe it's similar to the bracha of Al Mitzvah's Tefillin. It's on the Shal Rosh, that word. Maybe it's a bracha on a chalois. What's a bracha on a chalois? So when you perform a bris milah, it has an effect on the child. The child is now no longer an oral. He's allowed to eat korban pesach. He's allowed to eat truma. He's allowed to eat karbonis. Because when you don't do the mitzvah of milah, so not only you didn't do the mitzvah, but you're missing this chaloshem and the gabri. He's called the ben bris now. So Rav Soloveitchik thought perhaps the same is by tefillin. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Tefillin, when a person wears tefillin, it's different from all other mitzvahs, has an effect on him. He's going to be more serious. They'll introduce more Yerushalayim into him. So Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe that's why you have an additional bracha dafka la'acher asiyosam, after the bris milah, and after he put on the shalosh, maybe the second bracha is a bracha on the chalois. When it's a bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah, so then you say the bracha oivel asiyosam, that's la'aniach tefillin. So oivel asiyosam. But the bracha on mitzvah's tefillin, our practice is that we, those who say on mitzvah's tefillin, say it before they tighten on shalosh. Oivel asiyosam. They don't say it la'acher asiyosam. So they should thought that maybe it's a bracha on the chalois. So maybe it would make more sense to do it after l'acher asiyos, after you tighten, like over here, that you say l'achnu b'Israel shel Avraham Avinu, after the moel finishes doing the bris milah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. His whole life, he only participated in a gerus once. He never participated in a gerus other than that. And that was one case. He said there was a couple, they couldn't have any children, so they adopted a baby girl. And the boy had smicha from yeshiva. He had given him smicha. And so at the time that they were mala baby, it occurred that it was a girl. At the time they were matbala baby in the mikveh, it occurred to him a shayla that he should have thought of before. But he doesn't. He wasn't thinking, he said. So he said, the Gemara says, Tomo viola, when the ger can't say the bracha ayvel asiyosim. He can't say Hashem Kadoshon b'mitzvah Yisavet Zivano ala tefillin. He's not Jewish yet. So it says Tavol v'yola. After the ger is tavol in the mikveh and he comes out of the water, now he's Jewish. Now he should say, I have no choice. He can't say the bracha ayvel asiyosim. So after he's Tavol v'yola, he says the bracha ala tefillin. So that's if the ger is an adult, he's going to say the bracha on his own. What if it's a ger kot matbilim also does best? And so the ger is not going to say the bracha. So what's the din in such a case? So the author of the Bnei Yisoschar was a Chassidish Rebbe. So he wrote, Bnei Yisoschar is mainly Chassidus and a lot of Kabbalah and a little bit of Halacha, not too much. Then he has another sefer, the Derech Pikudecha, that's a sefer on the Taryag mitzvahs, and each mitzvah he divides into three parts, the three sections. Machshava, Dibra, Maisa. So he gives you first a thumbnail description of the mitzvah, like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Then he has a little bit chidushi halacha. Then he gives you tamei hamitzvah al pi nigla, al pi nista, al pi chasidus. So every so often he has a bit of a chidush. I really forgot what I was going to say. So he writes, Ger kotem ad bilim osa ad az bezin. Nobody says the bracha ala tefillah. The baby is an infant. He said the bezin shouldn't say a bracha. He says since the din is when the child grows up and the child finds out that they converted, they did him a favor to convert him or her, to make him Jewish, he has the right to be moicha. Let's say I want to give a gift to someone who's not here. So I give you the gift, you pick it up on his BF. Then he finds out about it. He says he doesn't want to be indebted to Shechter. He does want the gift. So the Gemara says you break it up. If his instinct, his initial reaction when he finds out, if he says wonderful and then the next day he backs out, you can't undo it. You can be mafke the gift. You can try to give it back to me, but you can't undo it. But if his instinct, his initial reaction is that he doesn't want the gift, he's moicha, so you undo the whole zochen. So Gemara says, Ger katan, mat bin amasa, das best, meisan zochen, das mishlag of fun of it. He did, he had him limcha. If he doesn't want it, doesn't want. So he says, so the Bnei Yisoschar writes in his sefer derech pikudecha, he doesn't think you should, the bezin should say bracha at all. It's a suffix brachas alkel. The child may be moicha later on. The likelihood is that he's probably not going to be moicha. If he's brought up by an observant family, when he or she reaches the age of bar mitzvah, that's probably not going to be moicha. but there is a possibility. So that's what some say. Safek brachas lahakel is not only when it's a 50-50 safek, even if the roiv is that the bracha is in place. Maybe you don't go basa roiv. So that's what the Bnei Yisoscha suggests. Others suggest the Chachamim would have a Mesakan of Bracha on the Bezin. Why should the Chacham be a Mesakan? There's a din, the Ger, who undergoes Gerus. A non-Jew is not Mechuyev to convert to become Jewish, but if he does convert, and he does go to the mikveh, and he does have a bris milah, he's in fulfillment of a mitzvah. He didn't have to do it, but once he does the Gerus, he converts. So the Bracha is on, as Eina Mitzvah, he's saying a Bracha is Mekayim Mitzvah. But the Bezdin, they were never, that's what other Achim said, they were never Mesakan a Bracha for the Bezdin. So the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh writes not so. The Balei HaNefesh writes, the Bezdin does say a Bracha, and they say the Bracha, Eivel HaSiyosan. Before that, Matvila baby, the only reason why the Bezdin, the only reason why the Ger says the Bracha, Lachar HaSiyosan, after his table, because Akati Gavel HaChazi is not Jewish yet, he can't say Gush HaMsos Mitzvahana, but over here, but the Bezdin is going to say the Bracha, he should say the Bracha Eivel HaSiyosan. Rab Soloveitchik said, at the time, it didn't occur to him, he should think about this in advance. At the moment, he was wondering, so he decided on the spur of the moment, they should say the Bracha after the Tovel of baby. Why? Maybe because of this consideration, Akati Gavel HaChazi, maybe the Bracha is a Bracha on the Chalois. Just like the Bracha, the second Bracha, the Yisayam Shal Rosh, Al Mitzvah's Tefillin, according to Rabbi Natan, if you only put on a Shal Rosh, you say two Brachas. What are you saying the second Bracha for? So he thought the second Bracha is because when you wear Tefillin, has an effect on you, the Rambam says. When the person is wearing the Tefillin, that's the last Rambam Hilchos Tefillin, has an effect, it makes them more serious, more Yerushalayim. And over here also, by the Bris Milah, he says a second Bracha, Lach Nisim Vishal Avram Avinu. The first bracha alamila is the birchas hamitzvah. The second bracha is a birchas shevach v'hidoya, sort of on the chalois, and maybe over here also it's on the chalois of the geirus of the davke. It should be lachar asiyos. That was his suggestion at the time. But then we looked it up, and none of the poskim say like that. The rabbi says it should be oivel asiyos, because the bezdin's saying, and others say you don't say a bracha. Yeah.
Why, according to Rabbi Tam, the way of self, you explain, why should it only be if you're soft? Yeah, the
Shal
Rosh, shouldn't you always say two
brachas
if it's a
bracha
on the
Chalos? Why is it only on the
Shal
Rosh?
Well, why is it only if you're Sach, the Tefillah Shal Yad and Tefillah
Shal
Rosh? Shouldn't you always...
No, the Rabbeinu Tam holds, you always say two brachas. You always say L'Haniach before the Shal Yad, and Al Mitzvah's Tefillah on the Shal Rosh. And if he talked, then you say both brachas on the Shal Rosh. If he didn't talk, the bracha that he said L'Haniach relates both to the Shal Yad and to the Shal Rosh. And if he did talk, then the bracha before the Shal Yad cannot relate to the Shal Rosh because he was mafsik the deeper. So then he has to say it over L'Haniach and Al Mitzvah's Tefillin. Shal Rosh always needs two brachas. Shal Yad, if you only have Shal Yad, you only say one bracha. Shal Rosh accomplishes this as a result, has an effect on the person. The Rama doesn't distinguish between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, but that's a Rav Soloveitchik thought within this Rabbin and Tam Shita. He came up with this idea, bracha al chalois. That's a shot of a shechita also. A shechita, a mitzvah, a shechita is only a matir. So it's a big question. So you say, bracha man yeshech, shekudushon tzotzon al shechita. So he thought that maybe it's a bracha on the chalois. When yeshech the animal, it's a chalois het a shechita. He thought that that's also a bracha on the chalois. Yeah. Then the meaning is that when they recite the brachas, they recite it in a standing position. So that's the question, where does that come from? That you have to stand when you recite the brachas. There's a pasuk in somebody, I wouldn't call on Babris, that you stand because the bris is taking place. Then the pasuk is not talking about a bris mila, a different bris with the Jewish people. But here they relate that pasuk to this instance of the... Everybody should stand except for the Sannik. Sannik has to sit. Then the Gemara says, after he finished the whole bris, and after the father said already the bracha, not nisa v'shal Avraham Avinu, they didn't say another bracha. Hashikidish edid me beten. Who's Hashikidish edid me beten? That's Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu was not, he was born as a non-Jew. He became Jewish later. He did the bris milah. But Yitzchak was a kiddush edid me beten in his mother's womb. He was already sanctified. And then we say at the end of Alkemis Charzos, as a reward for fulfilling the mitzvah of Bris Mila, Savei lehatzil edidah she'ereinu mishachas laman brisa she'asam b'psareinu, Rebbeinu Shalom should please Savei, instruct the malachim in charge, they should not let us go to Gehenna. That's what Rashi interprets on the Gemara, because there's an agadita that says that when the Jewish people die and they go to heaven, so... those who have a bris milah, so the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't let them, based on the pasuk in Treyasa, the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't let them throw them into Gehenna, unless he's Boal Anochris, unless someone was living with a non-Jewish woman, then it'll become Nimshecha or Losai. I don't know if it means to be taken literally, Nimshecha or Losai. Maybe it's a figurative way of describing it. And V'loy Mevaskele and Eliyahu Navi will not recognize that he's Jewish. Because there'll be Nimshach HaLosa, so then he will go to Gehenna. Yeah, this is based, the bris with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't have the 613 mitzvahs. And he added the 7 mitzvahs b'neinach. He had the mitzvah, he added on a few, because Baruch added on to him a few mitzvahs, additional. He had the mitzvah of Mila was given to him. Then he was given Lios L'chol L'kim L'zarecha Acharecha. Lios L'chol L'kim means to have Amunah, to believe in the Ikari Amunah. Well, the Zarach HaCharecha, the Gemara in Yevamos understands to mean that the Lalinsev Arma Yosa, that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were told they're not allowed to marry, not permitted to intermarry. If they marry a non-Jewish person, so the children will not be Jewish. It's not going to be Elias L'chol L'kim Zarach HaCharecha, the children will not be Jewish. So he was told not to intermarry, and he was given Eretz Yisrael on the occasion. We have a minig that they quoted from the Matei Moshe. Matei Moshe was the Talmud of the Ramah. Separate sefer Matei Moshe. Mon Ravam quotes him on every page. Matei Moshe has minhagim usually. So he says the minig is when you attend the bris, you give a gift. Where does that minig come from? When you attend the bris, you give a gift? Because on the occasion of the bris milah of Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a gift. He gave him real estate. He gave him Eretz Yisrael. That's why in the second bracha in Birchas Hamazon, say V'chalta v'svata v'rachtas shem l'kach al ha'oretz ha'toyv ha'shen osanoch. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for the food, you have to thank Him for giving us Eretz Yisrael. So when we thank Him, so we say, and we thank Him for giving us al bris choshech hasamta b'vsoreinu, because on the occasion of the bris of Avraham Avinu, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Eretz Yisrael. So just like the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him Eretz Yisrael, so we should too should give some significant gift worth a couple of billion dollars. Eretz Yisrael is worth a fortune of money. That's the minig to give a gift. Tzave lahatzul yedidah shereinu mishachas laman b'risoya shesam b'psareinu. Instruct Eliyahu Hanavi that the baby has a bris, so you shouldn't let him go to Gehenim. So here the Shach has a discussion, what's the correct pronunciation? We usually say tzavei, instruct Eliyahu Hanavi, not to let the baby go to Gehenim after he'll die. Others say the word should be pronounced tzivah, HaKadosh Baruch has already instructed Eliyahu Hanavi. So remember, here in the yeshiva, every time there'll be a bris, when there were the Mechabed, Rab David Lifshitz, to say the bracha, Hashikidah, she did me bet, and he would always say the word twice. Tzavei tzivah lahatzel edidah she'erenim. That he got from Avelva l'salveitchi. Because there are two opinions in the Shach, what the correct pronunciation should be. Tzavei tzivah, so he used to say both. That's how they say from Avelva l'salveitchi. So that's a brocha alakos. He say that over a cup of wine. And then hamavarach tzor she'yitam. Then you should take a sip of the wine. So our meaning is that we do Kriyas Hashem right after that. So the common practice is that they make Kriyas Hashem. Korishma b'Yisrael, give a name, and then after they finished making the Kriya Shem, then whoever said the bracha, Hashikidish didn't met them, takes a sip of the wine. So Moshe Feinstein changed the minig. He, in Rabbi Kivega's family, the Chazam said he had three wives, one after the other. So the second, because the first wife died, second wife died. So the second wife was the daughter of Rebbe Kivega. The Chazam Sofer was 1 year younger than Rebbe Kivega, and he died 1 year after. He lived to the same age as his father-in-law. So the Rebbe Kivega's family and the Chazam Sofer's family used to follow something from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. I don't know if it's in Sefer Chassidim or no, and it's about Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that they wouldn't throw out any mail. That is an attic full of mail. So the fire department found out about this, and they declared it as a fire hazard. And they said, you have to get rid of everything, or we're gonna outlaw you from using the house. So they had to read through all the letters and throw out whatever was not Dvar B'Talim. So they only saved those letters where there was the return. So later on, someone from the family made money. They printed a collection of letters, Igro Sofer, the letters from the Schreiber family, from the Sofer. Some Sofer's family was Schreiber. So they have in the letters, Rabbi Kivega had a grandson, Rabbi Leibel Eger, who was a Chassidish Rebbe. Kivega was not happy about it. He was opposed to the Chassidim. He had a son-in-law who was also a Chassidish, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum. So Rabbi Leibel Eger used to correspond with his uncle, with Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum. Could you tell me more stories about my grandfather? So he wrote him over different hanhogas of Rabbi Kivega, and they're printed in his collection, a few volumes. I think he grew safe from the letters that they didn't throw out in the garbage, the letters that they saved, and then they made money. They printed a book, all of those letters. One of the hanhogas of Rabbi Kivega was that when he would say the bracha, Koreis Abris, this long bracha, Shekida she did me bet them, he would drink the wine right after he finished Koreis Abris, and then he would say, they said the Kriya Hashem afterwards. So Moshe writes, he thinks that that's more correct. Even though the minhag in America for so many years is that we don't drink the wine until after the Kriya Hashem. So Rabbi Kivega says, minhagim come and go. Every 50 years you keep on changing the minhag. So that's not called a minhag. A minhag is if it keeps on lasting. If it keeps on changing, I don't know who says it was changing. My impression is it was always like that. I don't know. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, we should do it the more correct way. You should drink the wine right away after Koreis Abris, and then you say the Kriya Hashem later. So that's what they do a lot of times. Yesterday I was at Abris, they didn't do that. The one who said the bracha, Koreis Abris, didn't drink the wine till after the Kriya Hashem. But in many times, let's say when Katzenstein is the mole, he'll always tell them in advance that their emotion was makbid to drink the wine right away, right after Koreis Abris. Yeah, when you say Kayem Azal Yoviv Li'imah, that's only provided the father's alive. The father's not alive. You say Kayem Azal Yoviv Li'imah. What if neither the father nor the mother is alive? So you say Kayem Azal Yoviv Li'imah. So you don't say either Lo'aviv or Li'imah. The Shulchan Aruch says if you have a child who's a mamzer, you have to perform the bris, but you don't give the bracha kayem is al yavul imam. You're not mevakesh all the rachmi. But you have to do the bris like regular. Then in Siv Zion, they quote this, where we spoke about before, Reis HaMachai Siv Zion, if the father himself is the Moel, then he says Shachyonim. If someone else is doing, then it's a Machloikis. Is the father Yotze with Shlichas? Is the father Yotze with Shlichas? So the father's Mekayim, his unique mitzvah. So the other one is going to do the Mila, but the father should say, Lachnis Lisa Ravina and Shachyonim also. Or no, the father's not Yotzi, it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Shach thinks like that, mitzvah shebegufo. The father can't say shachyana. So that's a machlokes over here. And the... Yeah. The minhag always was that we said before, sif tes, Avi Abeno Emer Alamoyla Hadir Shu Shluchas, and the Mechaber assumes that there is a din of Shluchas. The Vilna Gaon gives a different suggestion. It's if cut mem. Why the minig is that the Avi Aben should stand right next to the Moil? So he says because the Zohar compares Bris Milah to Akrovas HaKorban, mainly because there's dam. And then you say that the Sandika holds a baby, it's like a Mizbeach, and the Sandika is like Maktik Torah. So they make comparisons in Midrashim. They make comparisons to Korbanos. So we have a klal in Korbanos. Her Korbanos Shalodim Korda Ein Oimer Al Gabov. It's not proper that the Makriv, the Korban, for a person, he's not there. We had in Gittin, there's a Mishnah about Shalech HaTosim Emdinus Ayam. You can be Mishalech Korban to the Beis Hamikdash, even if you're Tomei. Tomei can be Mishalech Korban Oisav. But the more correct is, you should be there. The Gemara says, that's why they instituted Mamoris. Every day of the year, they bring Korbanos to Bina himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael is not there. So, Eich Korbanos Shalodim Korban Oibir Al-Gabav. So the institute, you should have Mamoris, you should have people representing all of Klal Yisrael. And every week there were different families who would do the Mamoris, and they would be there in the Beis HaMikdash supervising the Hakrovas HaKabonis as representing all of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Bi'ur HaGro thinks. Aliyah ben Omer al Amoel, not Lo'odiyo Shu Shlucho. That's not the reason why. Because when you perform the Bris Milah, it's considered in a certain sense like a korban. Echo Laban Shalom and Korban Omer al Gabav. So he should be standing by when they perform the bris, like the Bala Korban should stand by when they're being makar of his korban. But it wouldn't be Miyake B'Yevit. Echo Laban Shalom and Korban Omer al Gabav. That's not Miyake B'Yevit. Yeah, this is a question. In Chutz Lord, we don't have this meaning that you say Shechiana when you do a bris. The Gemara has the last piece of Gemara, Psochim, says when you do a pinyon aben, you say Shechiana. The Gemara just has a suffix. Who says the Shechiana? Does the Kohen say Shechiana because he's getting richer? He's getting 5 slime. Or the Avi Aben says the Shechiana because he's being Mekayim the Mitzvah. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion. Avi Aben Baruch Shnayim. That's the last piece of Gemara, Psochim. So there's a famous comment on that last Gemara. There's a famous comment that the Netziv talks about. Why shouldn't they both say Shachyana? It's a good reason. The coin should say Shachyana is getting $5 richer, five sloim richer. It's like $100 now, closer to $70 or something. And the Aviyah Ben said the bracha is Shachyana because he's mekayim the mitzvah. So the Netziv has a whole explanation based on a Chassam Sofer and a Tshuva. They both have to say Shechana. The Shaila is, should I say to be Moitzi both of us? Or should you say to be Moitzi both of us? Let's say a boy gets engaged to a girl and he gives her a ring. He gives her an engagement ring. So when someone gives me a ring, a matana, an expensive ring, $1,000, you say Shechana if you're happy about it. And if the girl accepts his proposal and the boy is so thrilled that she accepts to get engaged and to marry him, he's supposed to say Shachyana. So they both have to say Shachyana. So you don't have to have both of them say. Either the boy says and she should say Amen, or the girl should say and he should say Amen. So that's how the Netziv quotes this Chassam Sofer. Who says Shachyana means they both have to say Shachyana, the Kohen and the Avi Aben. The Shaila is, who says it for both of them? Should the Kohen say for both? And Gemara says, no. Avi Aben Mevorach Shlam. Avi Aben says the Shachyana, and he's Motzi himself and Motzi the Kohen with his Shechionim. Yeah, when do you say the Shechionim? So in old Sidurim, they had printed that you say Shechionim after you give the money to the Kohen. So the Achrayim say that that's a mistake. The Shechionim should be recited. Let's say the first day of Sukkot, when you blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they say, L'shmayim, what do you say? L'shmayim kol Shofar. And then you say Shechionim. In the first day of Sukkot, when you shake a lulav, you say Al Natilas Lulav, you say Shechionim. So just like the Al Natilas Lulav and the Shema Kol Shofar is Eivel Asiyasim, Shechionim is also Eivel Asiyasim. So here also, more correct is, you should say the Shechionim Eivel Asiyasim by the Pidyon Aben. You should say both of them Eivel Asiyasim. So here by the Bris also, the Rambam is the one who writes that you say Shachyanu by every bris. The Rama quotes, some have the meaning, you only say Shachyanu if it's a firstborn, if it's a boy where there's going to be Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara says you have to say Shachyanu when you do Pidyon HaBen. So instead of saving the Shachyanu till the Pidyon HaBen, you say it when you do the bris. But then it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says Shachyanu when you do the Pidyon HaBen. So why will you mark the Mediyah? I don't know. The Rama says that they had a meaning. Medina Seilu, you only say it if there's a Bchor. And Eretz Yisrael, the meaning is they always say Shachyanu. There used to be a character in Eretz Yisrael, Yosela, used to be a moel. He was a very popular moel. So I remember, apparently this line that he had, I was a tzaddik by, I have a daughter who has two sets of twin boys. So two boys had their bris here in America, and the next set of twins were born in Eretz Yisrael. So Yosela was the moel. So he said, in Chutz La'aretz, you don't say Shachyana because of Tzayre de Yenuka, but in Eretz Yosel is the mile. So there's no Tzayre de Yenuka. So that's why in Eretz they say Shachyana. That's not the reason why. It has nothing to do with Yosel. It's because somehow in Eretz they consider the Rambam as a Mor D'Asra. So they follow the Rambam. Once they hear the Rambam, Shita is. The Mechabah says that. And Eretz Yosel, Chanoga, B'chol Malchus, Eretz Yosel, B'suryos, B'vissel, Malchus, B'tzrayim. The meaning is like the Rambam. That's what the Mechaber writes of here, Sibzayin. Meaning is like the Rambam, that you always say Shachyanu by every bris, if the father is there. Even though the father's not doing the bris, because we assume that Shlichas does work. So the father's being Mekayim, his unique mitzvah. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow we got to talk about Tzitz and Shei Makven and Samilo. We didn't really finish that. We started a little bit about what's called the Atorah. That's a big discussion. So that sefer that I mentioned yesterday, the Yad HaKtana, the last 20 pages of the sefer, all about Bris Mila. He has a long arichas on this. He said this topic was not explained well in the Gemara, the Rishon Lachrim, nobody explained. He's going to explain it. He has a long arichas on the din of Tzitz and Shei Makven and Samila. Okay, so we'll do that tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.
Rabbi, so are we knowing like Rabbeinu Tam or the Rashba in terms of making the brachas last? Something you say before or after?